The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Mindfulness Mode 209.
For people who experience bully in their life, I want you to hug those bullies in your heart.
You're listening to Mindfulness Mode with me, your host and mindfulness life coach, Bruce Lankford. I interview people from all walks of life who use mindfulness in their lives to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. And last day, Mindful Tribe, we were talking to an amazing man who has a tremendous spiritual side. It was just such a great conversation. He gave us so many nuggets of wisdom. I'm sure you will really enjoy listening to Jared Ungaza if you go back to episode 208. And today, I have another guest with me, a person I met at PodFest Multimedia Expo in Orlando back in February. What an amazing woman she is with an astounding story to tell. She was a keynote speaker at the event, and I couldn't wait to go up and meet her and talk to her afterwards. She was just so much of a people person, so easy to connect with her. And like I said, what a story to tell. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy Lily Wong. Okay, Mindful Tribe, let's get started. I'm really excited. I have Lily Wong with me today. Lily is a lady I met at PodFest Multimedia Expo in Orlando back in February, where I was speaking at that event. Oh, Lily, it was so great to meet you. How are you?
Very good. It's a wonderful day to be alive.
It really, really is.
And we're going to St. Petersburg. It's a sunshine state in Florida.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be talking about mindfulness today, as you know. And I just want to ask you to start off with, Lily, what does mindfulness really mean to you? When you think of the word mindfulness, what do you think of?
Actually, mindfulness is a new word that I just learned recently. I haven't really had a chance to look it up in Chinese dictionary, but I feel mindfulness is like awareness. I feel that I'm more mindful because I'm aware of my thoughts. And to be honest, I don't think I did that like maybe 5 years ago. Right. Like when I'm aware of my thoughts and then I get to choose which is the thoughts is from ego or which is from my intuition. And I think that really helped me to calm down every time I can recognize my thoughts. So I guess like mindfulness like that. And then recently I've been commented a lot, like people said that, oh, you're a very mindful person. I was just like, I would take that as a compliment.
Definitely do take it as a compliment. And I want to share with Mindful Tribe a little bit of a bio about you. Lily Wong is a teacher, a podcaster, and a world traveler who strives to find ways to give back. Her life's journey has been fascinating, and she continues to add what I call shimmering layers to her experiences. Her Chinese podcast is called Learn English So You Can Travel, and it's been downloaded more than 20 million times, and it's recorded in her native language of Mandarin. Her newest podcast is called Fly with Lily, where she shares bits of her life story so listeners can benefit from her beautiful storytelling abilities. And Lily, I know that you travel from country to country. Do you have a story that you can share with us right now that really opened you up and you felt mindful? You felt that sense of awareness. Maybe you have a story that you'd like to share with us to start off with.
Well, I think in my life, a lot of times I'm driven by love and intimacy. So on the journey of world traveling right now, I always say that one of my biggest superpowers is the ability to connect with people.
Right.
So when I get to meet people, I feel like if we have made some connection, I instantly fall in love with this person. I just want to get to know this person more. So I'm driven by this ability to, driven by this love. And then it kind of takes me to a lot of places that I never thought I would being to, you know. And then I'm just really appreciate that kind of ability to be able to connect really, really closely to people's heart. And a lot of my world travel experiences is actually it's now happening is because of this connection that I built with people, because people like me when I make the connection, and then they always like invite me on journey and stuff like that. And I just feel like when I talk to people, I tend to ask a lot of questions. That's how I receive messages from them and receive the energy from them. And I like that kind of ability. And then I just feel very loved.
Right. And I could really feel that coming from you when I talked with you after your keynote at PodFest. We talked for maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I remember that we kind of gave each other a hug, and I could just really feel that feeling of love. And I know one of the stories that you told at PodFest was about how you fell in love, and you told this story, and it was so heart-wrenching as to what happened. Do you feel like sharing that story with Mindful Tribe, Lily?
Sure. Okay. So I went to China in 2008. And then at that time, I was the head trainer of a very major, large education company. And then when I was there, I met my boyfriend at that time, and then which became my husband at that time. And then like maybe fast forward, 5 years later, I became his wife, and we were very, very loved. And I, right now, if I'm talking about this story, I still have a lot of love and respect for him, because I know now we are divorced, but I'm still like, feel like maybe it's a blessing in disguise. And also like, I feel that he is my greatest teacher, you know? So when I was married, I found myself not very happy because of the experiences I had when I was young, because my family constantly moved. And then I feel very vulnerable. We never had our own place. And in school, I was bullied, and I was sexual assaulted one time when I was moving around and then living with my father. And then just like, it was not a happy time, but I kind of brought that energy into my marriage. Although I was hired by a major company, and then I was paid $100 an hour to teach, but I still like find myself not fulfilled. But, and then, you know, like after you pass the honeymoon stage of love, and then kind of like I feel a little bit lazy, and then I found out that he had an affair already, like, and but also I did some self-reflection. I felt that, well, I was not very happy already, so maybe that was the reason why he strayed. Because later I learned a lot about relationship. I feel like a man always want to make their women feel happy. But when I was with him, he was always feel like frustrated. Why wasn't I happy enough? And I was frustrated because I really want to feel happy for him to feel loved, you know?
Right.
And so that was very, very difficult. And I kind of share with some of the people that actually, when I found out he had an affair, I found out his sex video with another friend that we both trusted very much. So that was very traumatizing for me for almost a year. But I know, I feel that I really need to know that I actually contributed to that, you know, because I after I found out, I still slept in the same bed like for a year. But I was just in pain, you know, I was still like crying in shower every night. And I just feel like, well, what was this all about? Did God hate me? Or am I not worthy to be loved because this is a woman, this is a man that I really, really respected and then really loved. And then how come he's just like stabbed in my back like that? So I thought that God hated me. That's why he made all this happen. But you know what? Because I was in pain. And I was always a person who is very self-sufficient. I like self-help.
Yes.
And I know that I can be resilient. But at that time, so I was like doing a lot of soul searching. Also, I'm trying to make my podcast business work. I can have income. And I also went to a lot of friends, asked for advice. And then I also listened to my heart. And then I finally had the courage to pack my bags and leave him for a while. And I went to the States. And at first I thought maybe only 3 months because I don't have much money, but I kind of make it work, you know. Mm-hmm. But when I'm traveling constantly on the road, I share my stories. And then I know that, well, it doesn't have to be like we have to love each other in order to see, that is a very, very nice thing, you know. Like, mm-hmm. I feel that I learned so much, and then now I feel that I'm closer to the one, just close to the best version of myself, you know. So I'm really grateful to him because everybody makes mistakes.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I also made some mistakes. So that's why it happened. So I feel that I already past that and I move on and I forgave him. And then that makes me realize, wow, he is my greatest teacher, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I just really feel really grateful.
And how do you think you found the courage after those several months to travel to the US to pick up and be independent and just go? Was it a sense of, was it through prayer? Was it through, like, how did you grow to that point?
Oh, it's funny that just like I mentioned before, I always connect people by asking questions and listen to other people's stories. Mm-hmm. And I found other people have similar stories, not sure. Just me. A lot of people, they are divorced and then they try to pick themselves up. And also I heard a lot of people, they after a bad breakup, they found their true love right now. Uh-huh. It's like kind of like everyone has a happy ending. So
yes.
I feel like, well, I can have a happy journey too. You know, I don't have to see everything as like really, really horrible. I just have to enjoy my journey.
Right.
You know? So I think people's stories really help me a lot. And then I find people are very resilient, and then I can look up to them, and then I can imagine myself being in their shoes, and I know everything will be all right.
Did you have a lot of hate when this first happened and then you had to work through it? It sounds like you don't carry very much of that kind of hate and pain with you.
No, I don't. Okay. So that's why I can share so naturally, you know, when I found out that first year, I was in pain, and then I really had a lot of hate. I remember when I was in the shower crying, all I can thought about is how I can stab the woman or kill my husband.
Right.
I want to destroy them so much, but I hate myself for doing that. You
yes.
know, I was crying. Now I talk about this kind of emotion. It kind of makes me a little bit teared up as well. I didn't like myself to be in hate.
Right.
I always want to see situation with love and kindness.
Right.
So I'm
well,
trying to work with that.
I love how you say that you took some responsibility, because sometimes it takes people years and years to get to the point of taking responsibility, and some people never do. What would you say to someone else who just isn't even close to that point of taking responsibility? How do you get there?
Well, there was one story that I heard that really helped me a lot. And I uh-huh. share with my girlfriends, and I asked them to just, you need to move on to that anger, you know, because that isn't good for you. And then it might kill you. You don't know. A lot of people have cancers because they hold on to a lot of anger, you know. And then right. So that story goes like this. So this is a woman who just broke up with someone she loved very much. So she went to a monk for advice. And a monk asked her a question. Do you go to the bathroom, and when you do number two, do you still carry your shit on your back and carry it out? And then she said, why would I do that? I wouldn't just carry my stuff like with me. But right. Yeah, and then the monk replied, yeah, but you've been talking about all this trouble, all this hate in you. It feels like you just did number two and then you carried it with you. And I was just like, wow. Yeah. While I was what I was doing all day, I was carrying that. And then that is smelly, that's bad with me.
Yeah.
And do I want to be seen as a woman like that? I don't want to.
No.
Yeah, and also there is something that happened to me when I was 20. My mother passed away in her sleep. Oh. Yeah, so she had no pain, and I didn't know what was going on with her, and then she just passed away like that. So that also made me aware that I can die. Maybe tomorrow, I don't know. I don't know how I would die, you know. So every day can be my last day. So I was thinking that if I still carry this kind of resentment with me and then still like give out all these really negative message, is this how I want to be seen the last day of my life?
Right. And she was quite young too, wasn't she? How did you feel when you first got that phone call from your father?
Yeah, she was only 53. I didn't get the phone call. I actually just got the voicemail. I got off class and then I saw the voicemail. I saw like tons of voicemail coming in from my cousin, from my father, from my aunt. I was just like, oh, what was going on? And I listened to my father's voicemail when he told me that my mother passed away in her sleep. And I was just really shocked. I was actually shocked for probably a few days.
And
because I got off the class, I was an English teacher already. I was in the English school, and the teachers even commented me like they didn't know that my mom passed away because I looked so calm.
Okay.
Because I was shocked, but I was also feel like it wasn't real. It was not real. It's never happened. I was in denial.
Right.
Yeah, but after I traveled back to my hometown and I saw her body, I was just like kind of like, oh, this is real. She really left. And that would just give me a lot of regret because I wasn't being the best version of Dollar, you know. I was constantly just feel like I'm so into my personal problems, and I wish I had done more, you know. So it was also that day that makes me know that I need to help people, like instead of focusing on myself so much.
Can you remember a story from when you were a child that influenced your life later?
When I was a child, that influenced my life later, I feel it would be like how I saw my father manage his money.
Okay.
And then
how did he manage his money?
Well, he's very adventurous and I look up to him very much.
Right.
But he wasn't very responsible, you know. I feel like he would spend a lot of money on alcohol, on gambling. And I refrain myself doing that.
Right. So you learned from him what not to do, what you didn't want to do in your life. Is that right?
Right. yeah, I don't want to become a person like that, without a plan for my money. And then I want to be able to take care of myself well. So I don't drink that much. I only drink occasionally.
Sure.
And then I don't gamble, or I don't even buy lottery tickets. And it's just like, I want to be a person who is responsible for myself, you know?
Right. But what you do is that you travel almost, you've been traveling for quite a while. Tell us what you love most about traveling.
Well, what I love most about traveling is I get to meet people who are very inspiring. Right now I'm staying with an old lady. Her name is Jeanette Nuss, and then Jeanette Noobs or something. But she is very inspiring. She's 84, and then she's so gracious, taking me in her house in St. Petersburg, Florida, near the beach. And I learn from her every day, and because she loves to cook, she loves, she also very into mindfulness as well. She does her meditation in the morning and in the evening. I just like to see how she moves. And then I just feel like, oh, wow, when I was 84, I can live a full life like her. So during my travel, what I love is to just meet new people. And I feel really inspired because people learn from me, and then I learn from them as well. And since I love English. I love the sound of it. I would just like to hear people talk about anything, you know.
Yes.
Learn.
Well, that reminds me of what you said about getting your first job where you were teaching English for $100 an hour. That sounds like a huge amount of money for teaching English. Tell us how that transpired.
How that transpired? Can I ask a question? What does transpire mean?
It means, how did that happen? How did that come to be?
No problem. Yeah. Well, that is not my first job. It's actually like my most recent job, my most recent contract I had with a very big game company. It's the top game company. And I became a self-employed contractor. Well, I've been teaching English prior to that for almost 10 years.
Okay.
So I was very confident enough that I had experience in teaching children, adults, teenagers, and even EFL teachers. So I was very confident, and I know that I was a volunteer in that community. I found a volunteer group in my own city when I was in Shanghai. I found Shanghai greeters, and I just feel that I contributed a lot. So I'm not afraid to ask for more.
Right.
Yeah. So when I got that contract, when they contacted me, I was just like, well, this is what I want. You know, that's how I want to teach to be happy. You know, but later I found I can make actually a lot more than $100 an hour. You know, I'm making more than $100 an hour right now because of my podcasting.
Of course.
More creative, and I can be listened to more, you know, so.
And then you can travel as well. What are some of the most interesting countries you travel to? Some of the most exciting?
Exciting countries. Well, I think America is very exciting. Yeah, it's very exciting because it's just like, it depends on what kind of activities you want to do, because I do a lot of crazy stuff here.
What do you do? Tell us about the crazy stuff.
I feel it's really exciting. Okay, so I went to do my skydiving like 2 years ago when I first came here. Uh-huh. And I went skydiving, and I also went snowboarding, and yes, which I never did in my own country. You know, in Taiwan, we never really snowed, and people might try skydiving, but I was too timid.
Okay. You know?
So I think America has a lot of opportunities. Yeah. I also went to Vancouver, and I think it's just really, really beautiful. And I met strangers on the beach, and then he took me to the mountain to watch the stars and treated me a very nice meal. So I feel like that kind that is also some adventure, you know. So it's just I love this place, like America.
Yes.
Like South. I haven't been to South. I'm planning to go to the South this year, but I also want to visit more exotic place in this place.
Sure. You
know? Not just sure. United States. I mean, Canada, Central America, and South America.
Well, I'm in Canada, and between Detroit and Toronto. Mm-hmm. And if you ever come to this area, I would love to get together with you to, you know, do whatever I could to welcome you to our area of Canada, which I really, truly love. And it's beautiful. We would go to Niagara Falls and you could see the Canadian Falls. And there's so much to see and enjoy about Canada.
Yeah, so. I really like Canada, especially the people are so nice. Yeah, even my American friends say like, wow, Canadians are really nice.
Oh, do they? Okay, well, that's all. That's nice. I'm glad, you know, yes. Because I love going to the United States as well. And as you know, just having gone to Orlando, it's just great to go. And it seems to me that whenever I go there, I meet so many passionate people who truly love to do whatever it is that they do. And you know, I think part of mindfulness is thinking and being aware, like you said, but also being aware of your passions and your interests. And you've now started a new podcast that you're passionate about called Fly with Lily. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, when I first went to my first podcast movement convention, it was in 2016. In July, it's called Podcast Movement in Chicago.
And I was there too, but I didn't meet you there. Yeah, I was there.
Okay. So I knew no one there and I didn't have an English podcast. I only had my Chinese podcast.
Yes.
So I was really timid when I was there because nobody knows me. And right. So that was like when that I really, really want to have an English album. Well, because of my crazy travel schedule, I didn't really put it together until last February because of this talk in Orlando. So I just kind of motivate myself. I need to create a podcast album. I need to have my English website.
Yes.
And I'm very transparent in my podcast. I share everything. I try everything I could, try everything that I've learned. If you want to travel free, you want to just become a person that is more mindful, and then you can watch my journey. My podcast is kind of my memoir, and I really like doing it. I have already written a few stories, and they are just being waiting to be recorded.
Right. Yeah. Well, I really enjoy your podcast. And for that reason, because you do share so authentically, it seems so genuine. Now, I haven't asked you this. We talked a bit about meditation, but do you meditate yourself? Is that part of your routine? Is it part of your life?
Well, I feel guilty to answer this one, though, because I know it's very beneficial to do meditation, but I kind of do it like maybe twice a week, you know, when I feel really need to center myself. The reason why I'm staying with Jeanette and then I was very inspired is because she meditates every day, morning and evening. And yesterday she kind of shared with me a lot of YouTube videos that I can do with meditation.
Yes.
I find myself, I can't really just meditate with my head alone. Right. I like to have an audio source, audio source to listen to and then to follow. Yeah. Yesterday before I went to bed, I did one. I feel did great. You? And then this morning when Jeanette was doing hers, I was around. So I find meditation is really, really wonderful because you can just start you off with a great mindset. And when you go to bed, it kind of like all the meditations are about being thankful. You know, and being thankful and being relaxed, and you can let go and have a wonderful dream.
Well, I love that. And I hope you don't feel too guilty about not meditating because that would kind of defeat the purpose. But right. I want to ask you, Lily, if it would be okay if I could send you one of my guided meditations because I like to create guided meditations. Oh, would you like that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So I love that. So I'll send that to you. I really enjoy it. Now, I was mentioning to you before we started recording that I have worked in bullying prevention a long time. And I'd like to ask a question about that. If you were ever bullied, or if you would mind sharing with us a situation where you were bullied, and maybe how mindfulness might have made a difference had you kind of understood it a bit more at the time.
Right. So when I was a teenager, I think I was also like in my lowest point of my life because I was so focused on myself, and I just constantly feel that I like to beat myself up. It's just not like I want to. It's just like I like to beat myself up. And then I wrote a lot about like suicidal messages in my journal. You know, I just like, I feel so in dark, but you know,
so
what?
Did it somehow feel good to beat yourself up?
It's so weird. Yeah. Yeah. I feel good to I feel really good to beat myself up and write all these messages down. It's really weird. Right. When I was in school, you know, like on the outside, I was a student who works really hard and then got my all straight A. I got all straight A on my grades, but deep inside, I was not happy. And sometimes entertaining suicidal thoughts, you know, and I found like several people, they like to pick on me and they call me names, and then they say like threaten me. They want to hit me or want to do stuff to me. And I was a little bit scared, but also like, I find myself quite like fearless. Like at some point, because I was already beating myself up, what worse can happen, you know? So maybe it was that kind of mindset that kind of avoid that kind of physical abuse. All I receive in my life is just like verbal abuse to myself and verbal abuse from others, you know? But after a few years, I kind of learned like people who bully people, they are actually the biggest bullies themselves. You know, like I learned this, and I feel like it kind of makes sense. They don't like themselves. That's why they want to maybe say mean stuff to others in order to make them feel good. Because I was some point, I was that kind of person as well. I find myself like in my head, I was judging people. But
judging
I like to judge myself too. You know?
I think that's a big part of mindfulness, is learning not to judge people.
Yeah, right now I find myself judged, but I just ask myself, do I really want to do this? I feel that I really, really want to practice is the unconditional love. You know, I still find myself like judging this person, but I just like ask myself, how do I make this message of love without judging? Right. So I'm much better right now. I don't judge people so much, and I can really tell, is this message from my ego or from my intuition or from love?
Right.
Yeah.
That's very, very empowering to hear you tell us that story about yourself and where you were, and then how you've come through it. And you're now this amazing, successful woman who lives your life on your terms. And you go from country to country, you go wherever you want, and you make your own choices. And that's incredible.
Yeah. Also, I would like to offer this message for people who experience bully in their life. I want you to hug those bullies in your heart. You know, try to be nice to those bullies in your heart. Try to see them as your family in your heart. Because sometimes bullies come to you is actually a reflection of your heart.
Very good advice.
How do you attract those bullies? It's probably because you've been beating yourself up so much, and then you've been not nice to those people, or you are already hostile to those people, and the people can feel your message. Okay, so if you are bothered by this situation right now, I think everything should turn into you yourself and ask yourself a few questions. Can I see these people with love? Can I send them loving messages? Can I hug them in my heart? And then I'm sure you can stop that.
So, Mindful Tribe, that's a really powerful message that we don't always hear. Hug your bully. You know, love your bully. Learn how to do that. Learn how to embrace the person or the situation that is really causing a hardship for you. So thank you for that, Lily. I have five quick answer questions. And the first one is, who would you say is one person who has influenced you to be more mindful?
I would say that recently I read a lot about Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Yes.
I think he totally opened my eyes because I'm now on this life journey. I'm writing my own memoir and I recently read his memoir. I can see clearly right now. And then yes. I feel like, wow, he's so mindful and he's sent so much love and positive messages. Well, I think he's the greatest teacher in the world. It's just I've learned so much. And then now I just feel like more relaxed, you know? Right. And then I feel like, yeah, it's true. We have guidance. And then whatever we do probably will lead us to the same direction that we want to be, you know? Just we need to relax, to be focused. And yeah, so I think he's really amazing.
A terrific, great man. He just helps so many people in his life. How has mindfulness affected your emotions, Lily?
Well, a lot of people, they might be really jealous of my life right now because I can be whatever and I can do whatever I want and then right. whatever I want. But travel yeah. is not always so sexy. I find myself can be make very negative or very anxious when I was like constantly looking for place to stay. And when people tell me that, oh, sorry, Lily, you can't stay here anymore because my parents are coming to visit. You need to find your own place. And then that message always like made me feel very anxious, made me feel right. not loved. So I think mindfulness made me feel like, made me recognize all these messages, you know,
sure.
that can be a trigger from my past.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, I can work on that. Like next time when I hear the same thing, how do I transfer? How do I make it different message to me? It's not, I'm not loved. It's just people can be available, you know, and also that is probably another opportunity for me to find a better place, you know.
Yes. Lily, tell us how breathing is a part of your mindfulness practice.
Breathing? I haven't thought about that, but I especially like the breathing in meditation. Like they would ask us to watch our breathing and
right.
take deep breath. And also, yeah. I like to practice yoga as well. So I sometimes would notice that I kind of held my breath when I practice yoga, and then I would ask myself to breathe more, you know, like to enjoy the air when it's morning, enjoy the air, enjoy the flower. And then kind of like breathing is kind of like a tool to help you to live in the moment.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. Is there a book that comes to mind that you could recommend that might be about mindfulness or maybe it's just sort of related to it that has maybe helped you get more focused, get more grounded?
I think I started this journey because I started following Louise Hay. It's about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, I found myself still in that place that was not good, not shiny, and then dark. I was in love, but I just can't really see myself really happy in love. And I start reading one of her books, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yes.
You know, and I found that's really powerful messages. Like there are lots of powerful messages we can learn to heal our life, to become full.
Right. Yeah, very powerful. Thanks for sharing that. And Lily, how can Mindful Tribe connect with you? How can we learn more about what you do? And even if we wanted to send you a message or connect, how could we do that?
Well, I just published my English podcast. It's called Fly with Lily. So you can find me on iTunes or Stitcher Radios or Google Play. And you can also come to my website, flywithlily.com, and sign up for my email. And then you can get Perfect. Updates and then see how you can get connected with me.
Perfect. Well, Lily, it was wonderful meeting you and hearing you at PodFest, and wonderful today to spend time talking with you. I really, really appreciate and value what you're doing for the world, and you're helping so many people. So thank you so much for being on Mindfulness Mode, Lily.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Mindfulness Mode. For insightful blog articles and show notes for every episode, check out mindfulnessmode.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you could help us out by clicking on the iTunes link on our website and leave a rating and review. Till next time, Mindful Tribe, use what we've learned today to reach new heights of calm, focus, and happiness. Stay in the mode.